Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I am Ali Baba.
And today we're going to be talking about thousands of Russians who lined up outside the embassy in Dubai to vote for the elections. Putin won, of course, but we'll talk about why it's important to talk about those thousands of Russians who lined up. And then Bahrainis are calling for a chef to be canceled over Zionist comments. And then no equality for working women in any country in the world. That's according to a study by the World Bank. Great news for women every day. And then our guest this episode is the CEO of a platform that's revolutionizing cross-border e-commerce. So Alibaba, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Chilling.
Apparently, you're doing better than most women in the workforce. Apparently, you're getting more equality. No comment?
No comment.
Okay.
That's a dark hole I do not want to go into.
So I posted something on my story over the weekend, and I just said, I know it was a little bit rude, but I said, anyone know a good real estate agent in Dubai with more than 5 operating brain cells? Okay.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I got more responses to that story than any response to anything I have ever posted on my Instagram. And, you know, I don't have a large following on Instagram, but it is a public account, and every now and then I do post quite controversial opinions or the latest whatever I'm doing for work. But I got the most responses for that. People feel very passionately about real estate agents. Someone responded saying, those exist, ? And let me know when you find one. Ouch. Alibaba, what are your thoughts on real estate agents?
I think they are very, very lovely people. Special, you know?
Special.
They're special. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Have you had any good experiences with real estate agents? Because we want to be fair to them. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
My experiences with the agents, most of them were fine. They were fine. I would say they were great. It's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, the last one I had,
bad in what
bad.
Way?
He sort of tricked me, but yeah.
Okay. They're almost like a mafia here, I would say, aren't they?
Yeah. Like once you give them your number, everybody has your number. Yeah. It's like you're in a beehive.
Right, and I mean they do, you know, play around with the prices. There was a new regulation introduced just a couple of weeks ago by RERA that they do have to take down the fake listings because they were using that to increase the price. So and you know what? One more thing, they always give you exactly what you didn't ask for. If you ask for something with a view, they give you something without a view, and they waste your time because you have to leave work to go see a listing, or you have to go after work to go see a listing, and it's a listing that's the total opposite of what you asked for. Anyways, that's the rant is over. We're going to move on from them. Thousands of Russians, including my father and my grandmother, lined up outside the Russian embassy in Dubai on Sunday yesterday to vote for the Russian elections.
Oh, cool.
There was a lot of excitement. It was like a little Moscow outside of the embassy. And we've got videos we're going to put out exclusively on Smashy Business. You guys will see it for yourself. But why is it important to talk about that? It's important to see how much the elections mean to the Russians, even though, and judging by the people that we spoke to on the ground, most of them were voting for President Vladimir Putin. But they still went there and they still voted. And they stood, it was from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and they stood under the sun. It was pretty hot yesterday. They stood with their umbrellas, with their caps, under the sun. It's important to them. These elections are important to them.
Yeah, from what I know from Russians, they're very patriotic and they love their country, you know.
Yeah.
And they're very proud to say they're Russians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why? Because they've been they've kind of been the underdog for so long. Mm. Everyone loves to hate on the Russians. Yeah. Putin, who of course won landslide, he won yesterday. He said his victory shows that Moscow had been right to stand up to the West and send its troops into Ukraine. We're not going to get political. Mm. We're talking about this for a reason. The Russians here in Dubai are adding a lot to the economy.
Yeah.
A lot of them moved since the war. A lot of them are opening businesses here. And even though the West loves to hate on Putin, the facts of the matter is he's managed to see this country through a war, through Western imposed sanctions, the airspace, you know, is closed off to a lot of the countries. It's not easy being the president of Russia right now. Mm. The GDP rebounded last year from 2022. It saw a growth of 3.6%. Granted, it's built on military spending, but the country is a survivor, always has been. Mm. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, expects Russia's economy to grow faster than all G7 economies this year. The IMF actually predicts the economy to rise at 2.6%. It exceeds Russia's own economy minister's prediction at 2.3%.
Wow.
So it is amazing. Mm. It is amazing, isn't it? Am I being objective? Probably not. Probably not. Mm. Okay, let's move on to your territory, Bahrain.
My territory.
Bahrainis are calling for a chef to be cancelled after she liked some anti-Palestinian posts, pretty Zionist posts, and anti-Muslim as well. Chef Susie Massetti, who reportedly owns, co-owns the restaurant Maso with a Bahraini partner, she liked a post that says, "You are a smart person. Don't believe the innocent Palestinian narrative, the innocent Palestinian narrative, quote unquote. There are no innocent civilians and no victims of Hamas." She also replied to a comment that says, "I find it rather scary when Fox is the only station that actually reports what's going on in Israel." She said, "Same here, scary as shit." Thoughts?
She's a special case, that one, isn't she?
Mm. Yeah. She is a special case indeed.
I think she has gone off the rails, in my personal opinion. Mm. Being Bahraini, I feel disgusted that such a person calls herself a Bahraini. Mm. Because Bahrainis are passionate people and they always do what is right. Mm-hmm. And they follow what is right.
She's been there for 15 years.
Well,
she should probably know better. But I think the point here is that these people, and by these people I mean, you know, Zionists who make such comments while living in a Muslim pro-Palestinian country, think essentially that they can get away with anything, especially being Italian. She's not Asian. She feels the probably... So white supremacy is coming into play here a little bit, I think.
So she's Italian and she's saying such things. She doesn't see her own country and what's happening there in her own economy.
Right.
You know, think about your own country before talking about someone else's cause. You know, if you're not educated well enough, don't talk. You know.
Great point. There's a reason why she's not in Italy and she's in Bahrain.
Yeah.
Because Italy is not a...
There you go. Right.
Not doing great. So she put out an apology. She basically says that she hopes to be forgiven, says sorry, but mentions nothing about the actual comments or the genocide at all. So a lot of people said, I always love the Gen Z comments. Someone said, "It's giving, don't deport me."
Yeah.
And I love that because people are calling for her to be canceled.
She won't get deported.
She won't get deported.
No.
Will she be canceled? Will she be held accountable?
Socially, yes, she'll be canceled. She might even, you know, face, you know...
Boycotts.
Yeah, that. And people will actually confront her. Mm. The Bahrainis are very vocal. Mm. You know, we're not people that shy away from anything. So we don't shy away from anything. Business-wise,
I think we've seen with I mean, if Starbucks and McDonald's are feeling the wrath of the people mm. and the boycotts are affecting their revenues and profits,
yeah.
surely a restaurant in Bahrain is going to experience the effect of these comments. We've seen that it's no longer that you can get away with anything
yeah.
just because you're a Westerner.
Yeah. We'll make sure she closes. Yeah, we'll make sure she closes down her business.
I like that statement. I like that statement. It's a developing story. We'll just have to see what happens with that. No equality for working women in any country around the world. That's according to a new report by the World Bank. It found that the global gender gap is far wider than it previously thought it was. Women on average enjoyed just 64% of the legal protection men do, down from the previous estimate of 77%. I've got to say, I have experienced that. I've got to say, I worked for a publication previously, and I did have my name removed from most from all of my articles, exclusive stories, global interviews, investigative pieces. Overnight, my name wiped off the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty sad for women out there. It's pretty sad. I think it's you know, we do have a problem of data here in the Middle East. I do wish that we had more statistics for women here, because I do truly believe that women have more opportunities here.
Than the rest of the world, yes, that comes into play with culture and religion over here. It's more accepting nowadays to put women on the forefront.
Yeah,
you know, of things. You have women in all sectors over here. You have them as doctors. You have them as astronauts. They have them as engineers.
I mean, Sheikh Mohammed is really pushing for women to be at the forefront of several sectors.
Yes.
He's making sure of that.
Yes.
And you really see the difference when you go to the governmental kind of entities, whether be it to start a business, apply for a license. A lot of those centers are majority women, actually, behind the counters. And it's beautiful to see.
Yeah. So, I see more women I've seen more women in the workforce than men.
Right.
That's what I can tell you.
And the Emirati women are quite ambitious as
yes.
well.
Yes.
It's just like in the UAE and in Saudi, the women are really ambitious. Why? Because they had to fight for it.
Yes.
They had to fight to actually work.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. Let's go on to sports. What's new in sports?
Yesterday I had the best day of my life. We kicked out Manchester United kicked out Liverpool out of the FA Cup, basically.
So Liverpool are standing alone.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one. Yeah. Yes. I got a side eye from our producer back there when I said that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so basically it was probably one of the most exciting games that anybody could watch. You know, even if you're not a football fan, that game was exciting to watch.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of back and forth. United went up 1-0, you know, and then Liverpool came back and scored two goals just before second half.
Wow.
So it goes 2-1, United were down. And
the
then,
anxiety while watching that.
Second half, you know, about 20 minutes, 30 minutes go by, nothing, you know. Liverpool are just holding the ball and, you know, keeping possession, trying to annoy the players, the United players.
Right. And then got too cocky, probably. That's why they lost.
Yes. They made a mistake and United capitalized. They tied. Became 2-2. And then they went into extra time. But right before extra time, there was a huge chance that Rashford missed, but we'll leave that aside. In extra time, basically, Liverpool again went up by one goal. And then last minute, you know, just before the game ends, like about 10 minutes, 5 minutes, we tie.
Okay.
And then in the very last minute, we win.
Wow.
Just before penalties. Wow.
I love it when the tables turn and there's a shift and you just, they don't see it coming. They didn't see it coming.
That is the beauty of remontada.
It's the beauty of football, and I would say it's the beauty in business as well.
Yes.
I would say that the shift in, you know, just taking it back to business a little bit, and that's why we love sports, because there are so many parallels to in business as well. There's the discipline, the game. Business is a game at the end of the day.
Oh, of course.
And the shift between, you know, the what the UAE is doing. You know, Sheikh Mohammed did announce just a few days ago that he is merging Nakheel and Maidan into Dubai Holding, and that will allow them to not just cut costs, but compete not only regionally across the GCC, but globally. Abu Dhabi is bidding to acquire several Western newspapers. We know that the GCC already owns you know, several entities, several hotels, Harrods, etc.
They're there in terms of investments. Yeah.
And they've been working on that.
Yeah. Kuwaitis
quietly, humbly, they've been just
acquiring all of
acquiring
these.
Them slowly. Yeah. It's gonna be exciting times to be living through.
Yeah. Kuwaitis are well known for such things as well. Qataris, you know, they go to London in a majority of the year, you know. You know,
absolutely.
You know, that's where they say "ajwa Londoni." That means, you know, it's London vibes.
London vibes, yeah.
Yeah.
We all see them there. They're hard to miss.
Yeah.
They're always dressed to the nines. Maybe the British can learn a thing or two from the Qataris and start dressing better. Whatever happened to British sense of style?
Yeah.
Maybe, pretty horrendous.
Maybe if they stop, you know, taking 50% tax from people, maybe then.
That's true. That's true. The government is not doing them any favors. So yeah, we feel for the people.
Yeah.
Okay, Alibaba, thank you for your time.
No problem.
I'm kicking you out of the studio in just a minute.
I got it. Yeah.
up next, the CEO of Pure Platform is joining us. It's a Iraqi startup, also based in the US, revolutionizing cross-border e-commerce. Up next, stay tuned. Mo Al-Kafaji.
Perfect.
The CEO of Pure Platform.
Correct.
Before we get into the actual business, what does your last name mean? Because I found out just a few years ago that Saatchi & Saatchi is actually owned by a Iraqi family, and it means Saatchi, right? Which means watchmaker.
Oh, maybe.
So true story.
I think last names are just tribal names or something.
Tribal
so
names.
So I'm not sure
okay.
if it has significant meaning.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So Pure Platform. It's U.S. and Iraq based.
It's U.S. based. We launched in Iraq first, and now we're in Saudi Arabia. We're launching in UAE.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's actually in UAE available right now, but we haven't really.
Brilliant. Okay. You're revolutionizing cross-border e-commerce.
Correct.
How are you doing that? Because it's a B2B to C?
B2B to C. So people can buy in quantities or just individual items.
Mm-hmm.
The revolutionary part is in the automatic detection of, you know, custom, you know, prohibited in customs, customs cost, shipping cost,
right,
and the ETA and full tracking all the way from the vendor to your house.
Okay, explain that to me a little bit. Are those some of the pain points that people face?
Yes. Today, local e-commerce is a solved problem. Everybody can shop locally in any country, pretty much.
Sure.
The biggest challenge is, which is not an Iraqi or a UAE or a Saudi Arabian problem. It's a universal problem everywhere in every country, including US and Western Europe. The problem occurs when you try to buy something from outside of your country. And this is where all the problems happen. And the top two issues, one is we don't know if this is prohibited from customs or not.
Right.
What are the rules around it? What is the fee for customs? And number two, you don't know what the shipping cost is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have one item and you specifically put this and, you know, manually figure this out in terms of customs and shipping, that's fine. It's easy. People do that. But when you add, you know, tens of, like Amazon has 50 million products, I mean, it's very hard to do this on a larger scale. That's why in UAE, when you buy from Amazon UAE, sometimes some of the items will come from the US, but then it may get confiscated in customs,
sure.
The customs, or, you know, or you don't know the final cost is until they knock on your door. So
sure.
These are the two major issues.
Mm.
There are many other issues, but you know, these are the two main ones.
How are you solving that though? Does the app give you all of those? Because obviously I've done my research about this, and apparently your app gives you all of the costs beforehand.
Correct. We use AI. We've been using AI for about 3 years now, almost 4 years.
Mm.
And it's customizable by country. The algorithms that we have,
which is very important, which is why a lot of people have failed when they scaled to other countries, right? Because it is so different. People paying in cash or in credit cards. You know, I was just in Qatar a few weeks ago, and I was trying to get a taxi, and I couldn't pay by cards. I had to pay by cash, and I didn't have cash. So yes,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
no
it's
problem.
Important, I think, to discuss this particular.
Yeah. So payment is obviously one of the issues that you have. You're in UAE, you have a credit card, you can use everywhere. But for example,
not in Abu Dhabi. In Abu Dhabi,
I don't know. I don't have a lot of familiarity with Abu Dhabi. I've been there twice.
Yeah, but, very cash-based, surprisingly.
But for example, if you want to buy from a Turkish vendor and you're very used to it and you like their products and you want to buy directly from them, unless that place has a location in UAE, you'd have to pay cross-border. And
right.
This is when your UAE card is most likely not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the challenges. Local payments. Now, customers have to think, when they think about local e-commerce, it's easy. I just log in and pay. When you think about cross-border, it's incredibly difficult. You have to first, deal with a VPN, proxy, whatever, so you can actually launch that site as a local customer in that country. You have to figure out the whole payment. Most likely, they're not going to accept you in local payment. You're going to have to figure out your shipping, your customs, and all of these issues. That's why cross-border shopping requires the customer to be a bit of an expert beyond the local e-commerce. So there's a complete disconnect. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring cross-border shopping and make it as easy as local shopping. So you browse that Turkish vendor, you browse that Chinese vendor, the US-based vendor, Saudi vendor, Iraqi vendor, Qatar, and UAE. We have in these countries in the afternoon. As you browse, you add the item to cart. We have intelligent algorithms that figure out whether this item is allowed through your customs. You don't have to be an expert yourself. We will prevent you from having it if it's illegal. And if it's not, it will actually give you the final cost.
Hmm.
And it will calculate the shipping cost. We're the only app today, cross-border, that gives you the final cost at the end of the cart. Unless you are the vendor that sells the product yourself and you had figured this out manually, it becomes very difficult. We're the only app that does this for you automatically.
Why do you think you're the only app that does that? Why do you think the other apps and the other businesses have not done that? Is it that they haven't bothered to solve that consumer problem?
It's actually very difficult. It's very difficult because when we first launched using our AI algorithm, there isn't a lot of data to learn. We know in AI,
especially in Iraq, right?
Everywhere, including here. How can I get a list
sure.
of all the items that pass through customs
sure.
and then train my algorithm on it or model, AI model? And that's one of the biggest challenges. So when we first launched, our AI model was wrong most of the time. Like 20-30% of the time. And it was very costly because we tell the customer, we will handle the loss, if any. And you just shop and whatever you see on the cart, that's the final price you pay. And that's the guarantee that we offer.
How
whatever
much
you
did
see,
it cost you in losses?
It cost us a lot, tens of thousands of dollars when we first launched. But the beautiful part is the AI model kept learning and learning until we got to a point, ironically, some of the biggest shipping companies, international shipping companies, they call us today in Iraq and they sometimes send us a link and say, will this item pass by customs, even though they are our clearance company, because of the model, how accurate it became. So right now we make a mistake maybe once every 6 to 10,000 item that we buy.
Amazing. You started in Iraq. How difficult was it, considering the obviously the political situation, the economic situation in Iraq? It's full of challenges.
Yep.
How challenging was it, and why did you decide to start from Iraq?
So entrepreneurs, we love challenges, right? I mean, we don't want to do it the easy way. It's a US-based company, but the idea was, how do we license out e-commerce as a service to other countries? And we wanted to start with a proof of concept in one of the countries. Mm. Now, I want to start in the region. Now, originally, I'm from Iraq. I left when I was 15. So I felt a bit more connected to it. Although, when I returned, it felt like it's a completely different country, even culturally.
Sure.
Like the things, like the jokes and the things you say. But it felt like, okay, if we can launch in Iraq and we can pass all the challenges. Iraq, no one uses a credit card. It's the only country today where I don't take a credit card with me. I always take cash, unlike all the other countries where I travel.
Hey, if you go to Moscow.
Oh, Moscow, I've never been to Moscow yet, but.
Because you can't, it's hard to bring in, you have to bring in dollars with you and.
But it's cash-based, it's not credit card-based.
It's, I mean, you can use cards there, but I mean, internationally, because of the sanctions, you can't use your card. Like, I can't use my Rack Bank card in Moscow, so you have to take cash. But sorry, go ahead.
So we decided to launch in Iraq, and we figured if we can change the behaviors of the customers who are not used to online shopping, who are not used to using credit cards. Until today, not a lot of people use credit cards inside the country.
Sure.
Then we truly delivered value that we think we can take and scale to other countries.
Right.
And that was the challenge. Now, it wasn't all roses and easy path. It was very difficult. And I always compare starting a company in the US fully, and that's what I started the other six companies that I co-founded, versus launching in a country like Iraq, where in the US, 95% of the challenges that I see or undergo are related to the core problem, while in Iraq, 95% of the challenges are everything around the core problem.
Yeah.
I'm only spending 5% on the core problem. But this actually paved the way to producing something that I think is significantly valuable to customers. So a lot of people change behavior. It's really funny and interesting because a lot of times we have people calling us and on the phone saying, stay with me on the line, I'm about to hit purchase. Mm. I wanna make sure you receive my purchase.
Wow.
So that's how a lot of people are not used to e-commerce in Iraq. Now, a lot of people, of course, are familiar with e-commerce, but we see a lot of people like this.
It's interesting, though, comparing the U.S. to Iraq. I remember a few years ago, I interviewed someone from Zain Group, I believe, and he said Baghdad is safer than Chicago. I mean, the U.S. is now facing a lot of turbulence as well, so it's just interesting the comparison of the problems. But the U.S. is facing its own turbulence at the moment, perhaps in a different way, but I just remembering this line now.
Yeah, this is generally true, but you have to be a bit more accurate in describing this. Chicago has about, I think, 10 million, 11 million people, and we're really talking about a small geographic region in Chicago that tends to be a bit more problematic.
Right.
But then where I used to live, for example, in the suburb, most of Chicago, it's pretty safe. You can leave your car running in the parking lot and, But I mean,
really?
This is the issue in every country in the world. And this is what I say, that there is the good and the bad, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, Baghdad is very safe today. And I encourage a lot of my friends to travel. I remember 3 or 4 years ago when I first went to Iraq after leaving, over 20 years ago. I remember I saw a couple from Spain or France in a cafe. And I took a picture of them from afar, and I said, look, Iraq is getting better, and so on. Now it's a very familiar scene. You can see a lot of tourists everywhere,
That's great.
Westerners and so on. So it's getting much better.
That's really great.
Yeah.
it's getting a lot better for you as well. The company saw a 300% growth in sales in 2022 and more than 600% in 2023, resulting in an 8-digit accumulative revenue by the end of the year.
Yes. Yes.
That's great. And you're scaling now. Tell me about your expansion plans and also what, you know, I guess two questions in one, your expansion plans, but first, what led to this growth in sales?
I think it's truly about providing value, is delivering value to the end customer. I don't believe in marketing or advertising yourself to success. You know, just keep spending money until people buy your product. I believe in, and that's why we never invested in marketing initially until September of 2023 when we hired our first marketing agency. We were 100% based on word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So our focus was primarily on how do we deliver something of value? We didn't focus on the buildings or the offices. All my meetings were in cafes and so on. And I think this resonated well with Iraqis. The other part, I think it's about being honest and direct with our customers. I'm not gonna say we're the only company or, but probably one of the few companies where we faced a lot of challenges in the beginning. We had shipments lost, stolen, all kinds of problems, especially in a country like Iraq that's developing. And in a lot of these cases, I tried to go live and explain the problem, apologize to the customers,
right.
And then we tried to do our best to compensate. And I think this resonated very well with Iraqis. They saw
an like
honest company that's trying, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also we're a bunch of young Iraqis representing, I think, the makeup of the society. I watched the first half of your segment before me, and you were talking about, you were upset about the gender inequality, right?
Yeah.
Unlike my other six companies that I co-founded in the U.S., this one has an international flavor. We have over 65 employees. It's my first company where more than 50% of employees are women.
And, I salute you. Yeah. I salute you.
Thank you. It just happened, but obviously we seek to have intelligent people, motivated, ambitious.
It's great that it happened organically, not just to fill in a quota, because that's not what women want, and that's not how a business is run. You can't just hire someone just because she's a woman. Obviously, she has to earn the title.
That's correct. And we have a standard salary based for everybody, regardless of gender or age. They fill in a role, and that role is actually priced at a certain cost.
Right. I mean, I'm happy to say that here at Augustus Media and at Smashy, I do feel the equality as well in terms of pay, in terms of treatment. I feel that here.
They're
as
not
well.
Paying you to say this, right?
No.
You're volunteering. This. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Blink twice if you need help. Yeah. No, seriously, it's great to see, and I think perhaps the GCC is now really moving towards. That you know,
equality first, regardless of gender.
Yes, absolutely. I just hope we get the data for that because it's great. You know, it's a great initiative. So I just hope we have the data.
Yeah. Now you also asked me about the expansion plan. Sorry, we launched in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Last year?
No, just recently.
Recently. Okay.
In the last few months, and this is what makes our app or our platform special, because we can actually launch very quickly in a country. It took us under 2 weeks to launch in Saudi Arabia fully, with localized support, and it took us about a week to launch in UAE. So we're in the final stages of launching in UAE, but the app is available. People can order from it. But hopefully we'll do a much larger campaign to educate people on it and let them know about the services. We are doing a strategic partnership with a very known entity based out of Dubai for international expansion. So they are currently present in over 60 countries. And the end goal is, after we do the proof of concept with them in the next month or so, is to start targeting aggressive expansion into the 60 countries.
Okay. Are you looking to exit the business anytime soon? Are there any talks of any buyout?
Not yet. Still enjoying the ride. And I think it's very addicting. You always want more and more and more.
Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of innovative things. a lot of what we do has never been done from an AI perspective. We also have the world's one of the first, I would say, e-commerce GPT intelligent chatbot that actually understands even the local dialect.
And now we're hallelujah.
So Iraqi dialect, Saudi dialect. Now it's learning UAE, and it will continue to learn. But imagine the next generation e-commerce where you don't just go by category, shoes, you know, women, shoes, red, whatever. Imagine you say, I have a party in a week, and this is the theme of the party,
right.
And this is my dress, what can I match with it? Here's my budget, here's the time frame. And it's really, truly just a conversation, and it understands what you're trying to buy, it understands your budget, your timeline, and also understands your shopping behavior, and people like you. This is something we're already using in Iraq, and we're expanding in the region as well. I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be really exciting. Personally, as a woman especially, I'm really looking forward to, an app helping me to choose my outfits. And also the fact that it understands the chatbot understands different dialects. I mean, that's pretty incredible. I think AI is just moving at such an incredible fast speed. Thank you so much for your time, Mo. I would have loved to continue this conversation, but I'm sure we'll have you on the show again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Listen to us, guys, wherever you get your podcasts. You probably know this already if you've been listening to us for a while. Anghami, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Or if you prefer the video version, you can stream us on smashy.tv and check out our shorts on social media, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you.